Morning. So today we're going to continue with our series on talking about life together, and it's sort of the culmination of the 3 weeks that we've talked about this. And today we're going to talk about what life is really like together as a church. And before we start, though, I really feel burdened on my heart to pray for someone that reached out to me just yesterday and the day before. Marty and Katie are two friends of ours. They're Amish in Ohio. And it's amazing when you get a phone call from an Irishman. Amish man. It's just something that usually doesn't happen. But he calls me and tells me that his father had a stroke. And would we as a church pray for him? And I said to Marty and Katie, definitely, we'll do that. And we were praying for healing over the phone and praying for God to take control. And so today, I just feel like since I told him we'd pray, that we'd pray for him. Because I think that's one aspect of what life together as a church is, right? Not just us right here, but the larger church in general. So let's pray. So dear Lord, we lift up Marty's father to you today, Lord, knowing that he had a stroke. And Lord, we just pray that you would be involved in that whole situation. That, Lord, you would provide continued healing. But Lord, also that you would comfort Marty and Katie and the whole entire family and their entire church, Lord, as they struggle with this, as he is an elder in the church, and this rocks the church quite hard within that Amish community. So Lord, we pray that you would just bring your blessing to them and bring them that peace that surpasses all understanding. So Lord, we pray this in Jesus' glorious name. Amen. See, I think that actually is a great way to start as we talk about life together, isn't it? I mean, because really, life together is about us doing things together, not just by yourself. There's sort of this thought within the world today that you can do everything individually and by yourself. Especially, there's a trend within the church that you can actually do church and faith by yourself. But hopefully, as you go through this today, you'll understand that we are called to live life together. And sure, there are certain aspects of your faith that you can do and you can accomplish on your own. I mean, you can pray on your own, you can read the Bible on your own, and in some ways you can worship on your own as well. But nothing we can do entirely on our own can fulfill the call that Jesus calls us to as his disciples in this world. This is what Francis Chan actually says right here and what you see on the screen. And Francis Chan is a pastor and a writer, and I find a lot of what he talks about to be just right on for the church today. And he says this: while every individual needs to obey Jesus' call to follow, we cannot follow Jesus as individuals. The proper context for every disciple maker is the church. It is impossible to make disciples aside from the church of Jesus Christ. Look at it from this perspective. The New Testament is full of commands to do this or that for one another. Love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, etc. We talked about that in our first week. So how can we teach people to observe all that I have commanded if they have no one to love, pray for, or encourage? It's impossible to one another yourself. It's impossible to follow Jesus alone. I think that is such a great quote, and I could sit down right now. You might be happy if I did, but that is actually the great thing, a verse that we should read and say, that is it right there. You can't follow Jesus alone, and you can't one another yourself. Even though we may want to as individuals in this world, we can't do it. I mean, throughout his ministry, Jesus taught the disciples what it meant to be together, encouraging them to look at one another and to attend to each other's needs. That's what he did for 3 years. In his appearance after the resurrection, he reiterated this idea and tried to show them again, instructing the disciples to continue in the work that he had given them and the work that he had taught them. In fact, in Luke's gospel, he reminds the disciples of this. And I don't think, there it is. You are my witness of these things, he says to them. I mean, such good news that he had for everyone that he taught the disciples, it was meant to be shared and not just kept alone. It was meant to be shared with everyone around him. Matthew's gospel actually says this as well. Go and therefore and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. I mean, that fits with the same thing, that they are witnesses to what Jesus had taught them and how life is meant to be lived together. And it doesn't just stop there. I mean, you can look at Mark's gospel as well, and it reads this: go into all the world and proclaim the good news to the whole creation. And of course, John's gospel actually supports this as well. As we hear specifically from his gospel, he gives us tangible instructions for what it is and what it looks like to live this life together. He says this: do you love me? Then what does he say to do? Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Now, who are the lambs and the sheep that he's talking about? Me and you. We are the lambs and sheep to care for one another. All of these verses suggest that this is not something you can do individually. This is not something that's just for you. That this is something that is meant to be lived together. And there's no denying the witness of all four of these gospels. Disciples were not meant to exist in isolation. They were meant to be engaged with each other, with the world around them as well, to share the good news of Jesus. I mean, that's really what it meant to be disciples in a post-Easter world. And in the modern day of us as followers of Jesus, it's meant that we live life together in that way as well. But it begins with a life filled with community. I mean, that's really what I think most people are searching for in this world, isn't it? A life of community, a life of being connected to one another. It really drove home this last week on Thursday afternoon. Daniela and I were interrupted on a trip to Irvine by the police department, who called me to go visit a woman who lost her husband. And this woman was here from Michigan and had no one around that she knew, all by herself, and her husband had just passed away. I said to her, isn't there somebody you've gone out to dinner with? Somebody you're connected with at church? Someone? There was no one. And at that moment, it was devastating to her. Because we are meant to be in relationship to one another. We are meant to live together. And it's sad when that doesn't happen. I mean, in one of the books that we've been looking at through these 3 weeks, the book by Dietrich Bonhoeffer, Life Together, he gives us this unique idea of what fellowship and community is all about. It's really based on an underground fellowship that was created within a seminary in Germany during the Nazi years. And he explains what it was like for them, and it is a great model for us on truly what community is all about as well. And he sets this forth and says, this is what community is about. And what he says is this: community, Christianity means community through Jesus Christ and in Jesus Christ. No Christian community is more or less than this. Whether it be a brief single encounter or the daily fellowship of years, Christian community is only this: we belong to one another only through and in Jesus Christ. See, Jesus makes all the difference in the world. I mean, this is the gist of the sermon that Peter also delivers on the day of Pentecost to the church that was there in Jerusalem, as he shares for us and recorded in Acts chapter 2. And I'd like to read this, because we've read this before, but I'd like to read this today just so you hear what he says as well and what he sort of depicts as sharing with us in Acts what life is like. He says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking of bread. This is a description of the first century church, and to prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as they had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. It's a great picture of the church, isn't it? I mean, Luke gives us this picture of what the church truly is like right after Peter gave the sermon of who Jesus was all about as well. And really what he talks about is this idyllic picture of the infancy of the early church and how they were in awe of what God was doing for them. And we can see this and we can be in awe as well because it really is a beautiful picture. It is a utopia of what the church should be like. And especially at the beginning, which we've seen this verse before, where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. He went on and said that they share everything in common and they spent time eating and praying and studying scripture together. I mean, what a lovely view of church that is, isn't it? I mean, free from disagreements or challenges, it doesn't say it there at all. I mean, no early church seemed to have trouble with their toilets or stopped up sinks. It wasn't there at all. We know that later, though, later that does enter the church. Paul talks about the strife and disagreements and disunity that entered into the church. But still, this early picture that we read here is such a great picture of what the church was meant to be and what it's called to be as well. So what are the keys to a success of the early church? What were the keys at that time? Well, was it compelling preaching like Peter that he just gave? Was it outstanding music that was there in the sanctuary? Maybe it was a great new sign that was outside. Or maybe it's comfortable pews. Or maybe it's really good coffee that's after the service. I mean, oddly enough, none of these are even mentioned, or anything like them mentioned at all in Acts. Nor were they anywhere that was mentioned or equivalent to them in the first century church. But what we do hear is this from verse 47 of chapter 2. It says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." I mean, they were growing because of one factor. And what was that one factor? The Lord. The Lord. The writer clearly tells us that any success was not based on Peter and his preaching. It wasn't based on any evangelism outreach by the church. It wasn't based on anything but the work of the Holy Spirit and the Lord. That's what actually made the church grow. In fact, it was the believers who were in awe and wonder at the works of God that brought them together in the first place to gather as a community. And this passage in Acts says a lot to teach us about what it means to be the church. First, an awareness and an acknowledgement of who Christ is and that he is at the center of everything that we do. And then also that he is the one who brings us together. Then secondly, the idea that knowing that the practices of the community are there to heighten our awareness of who God truly is and what he actually does and what he can actually accomplish. See, Acts describes in detail the faith practices of this early community. And the significant word that is used a number of times is the word devoted. That was the word that is used to sort of describe the intention and the interaction of the people that were there. They were devoted. This wasn't some casual hobby. It wasn't a once in a while event. Their life together was an integral part of their daily lives. And faith came as a gift from God. The gift of community is how it was expressed as well. Bonhoeffer says this, "Christian brotherhood is not an ideal which we must realize. It is rather a reality created by God in Christ in which we may participate." Again, where does the glory go for this? It goes to God. God is the one who brings us together as brothers and sisters in Christ. God is the one who brings us together and gives us the opportunity to participate in this community. It's the early church that participated in the teaching and the fellowship and the sharing of what they had. It was them that actually came together, and still those are marks of the church today. And reading these simple ways of being together is a reminder of us of the heart of what community is. that we can be nourished in our time together. And really, Christian life is really us adjusting ourselves to the existence of a gracious God. It describes for us what this adjustment looks like, the awe and wonder that characterizes the early church. See, I think sometimes we don't come into this place with awe and wonder at what God has done, not just for us on the cross and his resurrection, but for what he has done in building us together as a community of believers, with brothers and sisters in Christ here together, knowing that God's wondrous deeds are there and that they are shared with all of us. But then we have the opportunity to reassure each other of those gifts once again. See, the church is not something you attend. The church is a family you belong to. And that's where I think the American church has gotten it wrong. Most people talk about the church that they attend. They don't talk about the family they belong to. And when we devote ourselves to this kind of being together, we are better able to see God's presence among us. And when we fail to see it on our own, we know that there are others here that can share it with us and point it out in our times of struggle. In the 90s, I don't know if many of you ever listened to the rock band U2. Anybody? You can raise your hand if you don't want to. You don't have to. You can admit it. It's okay. I'm a Prince fan, believe it or not. I hate to admit that, but I am. I grew up in Minneapolis as a sinner and non-believer, so that's how I got there. But the U2 had one song that was titled One. And in that song, they speak about the interplay between individuals and community and this distinctiveness and unity that is there. Here's what some of the verses are. We're one, but we're not the same. We get to carry each other. One life with each other, sisters, brothers. One life, but we're not the same. We get to carry each other, one life, one. Isn't that a good summary of Christian community? Whether they meant it that way or not, I love to claim secular things for the church. But this is perfect for what we're talking about here. That we are one together as a community of believers, yes, but each one of us is different. That we carry each other during burdens or times of difficulty. That we live with each other, brothers and sisters in Christ. And I'm reminded yesterday when I was visiting a member here in the hospital, someone walked in and said, "Are you a relative?" And my answer was no, and the person looked at me and said, "Oh no, he's a brother of mine. He's a brother in Christ." You know, that's exactly what this means. We are brothers in Christ. And we get to carry each other in this life as we share it together in one community with one another. This is the description of the early church. This is the church that is alive and well today as well. We are one in Jesus Christ. Though we are unique and different by God, we are also called together in community by God. And we do this as brothers and sisters in the faith. Our common life of prayer, study, and service, it unites us together and it builds relationships with one another. And among us, we have mutual love and support, even in times when it may be difficult. 1 Peter chapter 22 actually says, or 1 Peter verse 22 says this, genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. That's what we're called to do. That it is truly living the love of Jesus, which, by the way, begins right here before it can go out anywhere else. It starts right here. It looks like this. It looks like one who uses a cane embracing one who just is learning to crawl. Or maybe one who squirms from a certain topic that is being talked about to one who sits in the pew and can sit still. It includes teenagers who text with the one who sits next to them who writes beautifully cursive writing because of the letters they continue to write. See, God's community is big and wide, more than we can ever imagine. It's bigger than those who look like us. It's bigger than those who think like us. It's bigger than those who act like us. It's bigger than those who are sitting right next to you in the pew. It's so big because of the one who unites us in Jesus Christ. Community is much greater than those who we think it is. See, God's love is contagious. It is something that we long to be part of, that we find together, and it spreads and grows quickly throughout everything that we do. It starts by being willing to engage life together, to be vulnerable together, to carry each other, preaching the good news among us as well, and also to anyone who will listen. And when we devote ourselves to the image that God gives us for community, we will grow. We'll grow in faith, we'll grow in understanding, and by God's grace, we'll grow in numbers as well. See, there's a lot of things that you can do by yourself, but faith doesn't happen alone. God has given us a wonderful gift of community here in this congregation and in the greater church. And our joy, our blessing, is to participate in it as we engage life together day by day. See, it's amazing what God can do, and I think we need to gather back and remember the awe that God has. You know, I mentioned Marty and Katie before we started. And Marty called me yesterday afternoon, and again, it's so funny when you get a call from an Amish man. You know, he's not supposed to be using the phone, but he does. And he says to me, you know, Pastor Rob, which is what he calls me from the years we spent together, he goes, I just have to tell you this. My father, the doctors told us he was gone, and they told us sorry for your loss. And they took off all the machines and they sent him to hospice. And he said that night we had our church all around him, more people packed in that room than I could ever imagine. And the bishop of the church anointed him, saying, Lord, take him to be going home. And they went out and were waiting in the waiting room, sleeping there, trying to wait till the father was taken home. And he said, suddenly the nurse came and said, Marty, you've got to come in the room. And he walked in the room and his dad was talking. And his dad knew where he was, had no loss of memory, and his dad actually knew what was going on. In fact, you know, the Amish have the beards, but they hate the stubble down here, and here his dad actually started shaving. That's how much things had changed. See, I don't think we can forget about the awe that God has, right? About the power that God has and what he can do. And as we read in our text today about what the early church did, it says there that over 3,000 people came to faith. Not because of Peter's preaching, but because of the Lord and what the Lord had done. And see, I believe that can happen here. I believe that God can do amazing things. And sometimes as a community, we just have to get that back and understand what God can do. Now, this morning as I was taking a shower coming to church, I listen to Christian music always before I come in. And that's probably too much information for you, but I do while I'm, you know, taking a shower. And there was a song that came on that I had never heard before. And this song actually came on, and as it was playing, it struck me that it fit perfectly with what I had planned to say this morning. And it was one that I listened to, and the words were so good, I said, you know what, I just have to play that for you this morning. So bear with me as I do so. This is the video of it. But look at the words and see how it fits with what we just talked about. I promise it's coming. I can't sing it. That would clear out the church. We want community, not. Here are some of the words. It says, take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to love. To the love I had first, oh, I want to go to church. Tired.
There was a time that I swore I would never go back. I was blind to the truth, didn't know what I had. I was running, I was searching, but every place I turned for healing left me more broken than the last. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. Trying to walk on my own, but I wound up lost. Now I'm making my way to the foot of the cross. It's not a trophy for the winners, it's a shelter for the sinners, and it's right where I belong. Take me back to the place that feels like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church. I wanna go to church. Oh, more than an obligation, it's our foundation. Like home, to the people I can depend on, to the faith that's in my bones. Take me back to a preacher and a verse where they've seen me at my worst, to the love I had at first. Oh, I wanna go to church.
Yeah, amazing. You know, I don't believe in coincidences. And to have that be a new song that I heard this morning as I had this message prepared, that is not by coincidence. This is the awe of God we should recognize, right? I mean, that fits perfectly with everything that I had prepared to say this morning, is that truly, this is a community where you can see people at their worst, but still love each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. Where we can come together and truly know that this is a place that feels like home. Why? Because this is where our brothers and sisters are. We are the family of God. And I want more and more people to experience that. So I encourage you to get involved in the Red Letter Challenge. This is a way we as brothers and sisters in Christ can share together and grow together. So today, as I said, you can purchase a book out on the table. Join us for this challenge as we continue to grow together as the family of believers here at Our Savior's. Would you bow your heads and pray? Dear Lord, we are just in awe at who you are and how you orchestrate things in this world. And Lord, we know you are in control of all things, and that, Lord, despite us, that, Lord, you will do your work. We ask, Lord, that you allow us to get out of your way so that, Lord, you can do what needs to be accomplished. And that, Lord, all of us would get involved to truly be the family of believers here at Our Savior's. That, Lord, we would build this community to be one that is unlike any other place. One that is filled with those who are broken, yes, but also with those who love one another despite our brokenness, and that encourage each other in the name of Christ. We know, Lord, that you are active. And so, Lord, we pray that just as that message of Peter went out and thousands came to faith, that, Lord, through the love that is shared in this group here, that, Lord, more and more people could come to know you. Let us change this community, and let us change this world. We pray this in Jesus' glorious name. Amen.
Let's stand together. And the altar is open. If you just want to pray and spend some time with the Lord, please do. But we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and so if you feel led to come and pray with a brother or sister who's at the altar, let's just join together and minister to one another and allow God to minister to us as we sing, O Come to the Altar.
Are you hurting and broken within? Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin? Jesus is calling. Have you come to the end of yourself? Do you thirst for a drink from the well? Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar. The Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Leave behind your regrets and mistakes. Come today, there's no reason to wait. Jesus is calling. Bring your sorrows and trade them for joy. From the ashes a new death is born. Jesus is calling. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, come to the altar, the Father's arms are open wide. Forgiveness was bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen.
just hold there and sing that.
Oh, what a Savior, isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah, Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord.
Voices together.
Oh, what a Savior! Isn't He wonderful? Sing hallelujah! Christ is risen. Bow down before Him, for He is Lord.
A thousand times I've failed, still Your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, still I'm caught in Your grace everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. You will above all else, my purpose remains. The art of losing myself in bringing You praise everlasting. Your light will shine when all else fades, never ending. Your glory goes beyond all fame. My heart and my soul, I give You control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love You from the inside out. Everlasting, Your light will shine when all else fades. Everlasting, Your glory goes beyond all fame. And the cry of my heart is to bring You praise from the inside. Justice and praise become my embrace, to love You from the inside out. My heart and my soul, I give You control. Consume me from the inside out, Lord. Let justice and praise become my embrace, to love You from the inside out.
Well, before we receive the blessing of the Lord, can we just say thank you to Nancy and Alex and everybody who's up in the control booth up there? She had just like 5 minutes to get that video today. So, And they always are putting things together, and I sprung that on her right before service. So praise God she was able to download it and get it playing for us. So thank you for that. Cup your hands in front of you and receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Lord, look upon you with his favor and grant you his peace. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.